Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Well, in a flurry of activity last night, the Senate debated briefly and voted on the foreign aid package sent to them by the House of Representatives, and it overwhelmingly passed, 79-18. Now the aid that's headed towards our allies that bolsters the efforts against Russia, China, Hamas, and Iran, while also providing crucial humanitarian aid to those suffering in many war zones. We want to look kind of beneath the headlines in terms of how did they get there, and then what did the president have to say today, and what does it mean moving forward? Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Well, as we've been covering, and of course, the long drawn out process that's literally been going on for months and months now in terms of these particular aid packages to Israel, to Ukraine, to Taiwan, along with some other things in terms of some aid, some humanitarian aid to war zones, Gaza in particular. And all of those came to a head, of course, in the House of Representatives over the weekend. And then it was kicked across the compound there at the Senate, and the Senate took it up and finally got it off. They brought it to the floor yesterday morning, and that started the clock with about 30 hours potentially for debate in an amendment process. And then all of that collapsed. They yielded back time is the way they formally do that. And a lot of that is because of either the arm twisting or the horse trading that goes on behind the scenes, often back in the Senate cloakroom. And so whatever it was that got them to the end, they got to the end. And they took the vote last night. As I mentioned, it was 79-18, so bipartisan passage of that bill. And we'll break down a little bit in terms of what played out there. But I actually want to start with the president today, because the president, in signing the bill this morning, had some things to say in terms of what this means and why we should look at it moving forward as an important piece of a broader puzzle for around the world and for freedom everywhere. And I thought the president was actually very strong this morning, stronger than I've seen him in a couple of weeks now, very focused, very clear in terms of his message. He stayed on message for the most part, a few political jabs here and there. It's an election year, so those are to be expected. But for the most part, he stayed on message. He started by emphasizing how the bill is investing in making America and the world safer and stronger.
It's going to make America safer. It's going to make the world safer. And it continues America's leadership in the world, and everyone knows it. It gives vital support to America's partners so they can defend themselves against threats to their sovereignty and to the lives and freedom of their citizens. And it's an investment in our own security, because when our allies are stronger, and I want to make this point again and again, when our allies are stronger, we are stronger.
And the president did make that point many times during his remarks this morning, that when our allies are stronger, we are stronger and safer. And so it was an interesting thing to look at how that all played out. And as you break that down just a little bit in terms of who is safer when everyone is stronger and what the role of the United States is in all of this, we'll come back to that in just a moment. One of the other things that the president hit in his comments was about the military aid going to Israel to defend itself and more than $1 billion in additional humanitarian aid for the people in Gaza. Take a listen.
My commitment to Israel, I want to make clear again, is ironclad. It will always make sure that Israel has what it needs to defend itself against Iran and terrorists it supports. But at the same time, this bill significantly increases humanitarian assistance to the innocent people of Gaza who are suffering badly. This bill includes $1 billion from additional humanitarian aid in Gaza. And Israel must make sure all this aid reaches the Palestinians in Gaza without delay.
So strong words from the president there in terms of this $1 billion that was part of this package of aid for Israel was $1 billion going to humanitarian aid. And the president said Israel must get that delivered as soon as possible. Immediately was the call from the president today. Finally, President Biden ended his message talking about the need for strong American leadership, which ultimately makes the world a better and a safer place.
At the end of the day, most of us, whether we're Democrats, Republicans, or Independents, believe that America must stand up for what is right. We don't walk away from our allies. We stand with them. We don't let tyrants win. We oppose them. We don't merely watch global events unfold. We shape them. That's what it means to be the indispensable nation. That's what it means to be the world's superpower and the world's leading democracy.
So being the world's leader in democracy, I think, is an important thing and an important message coming from the president, especially at a time when many of our allies around the world have been questioning the United States' commitment and whether the U.S. would really be there when they needed the U.S. to be there. And I think the president was trying to deter any of that kind of counter argument. Of course, this took a very long time and has had real consequences in terms of Ukraine, what's happening on the battlefront. We're actually going to stay with this conversation coming up at 1:20. Mark Toth is going to join us to look at, now that these the package particularly for Ukraine has passed, what does it actually mean on the battlefield and what is likely to happen next as a result of this aid package getting through. So that's coming up at 1:20. We're going to stay with this conversation moving along. I think it was also interesting, of course, a part of the package included the ability for everyone to seize the assets, those Russian assets, and to convert those into real cash that can be used to help defer some of the cost in terms of what's going on inside of Ukraine. And then as part of that same package, you had the TikTok parent company being noticed that they either have to sell that share so it's not governed through China specifically, or there will eventually be a block or a ban. Now, that's about 9 months to a year out, but it does start the clock ticking, I think, is the important message there. And the president reiterated that as part of this conversation this morning, that they need to either divest of that so it's not controlled by China and the Chinese Communist Party, or there will be the threat of that banishment or blocking of TikTok. So we'll continue to see how that all plays out. And now that we can look back a little bit and say, okay, what actually took place and why did it take place and how did we get here and why did it take so long to get here in the end if there was some bipartisan support there? And, of course, a lot of that is just down to the politics of it all. And then who's willing to stand up and who's willing to look at a bill in specific measures as opposed to just big thousands of page bills. And I think last night in particular, I was expecting that the Senate was going to draw this out a little bit longer, that they would use most of the 30 hours. I was anticipating that perhaps they would be voting while we're on air today. But as is often the case in Washington, D.C., when the jet fumes from Washington Reagan begin to waft across the Potomac and into the Capitol building, senators and members of Congress suddenly are persuaded to yield back time so that they can have time to catch the next flight home. And that's what happened with most of the members of Congress in the Senate. They, of course, the House is off this week, and the Senate is now adjourned, and so it is done. But the ramifications of what took place, of course, we've been talking about Speaker Johnson and his role and what that means coming up. And we'll actually have a deep dive with Eliana Plott from The Atlantic coming up at 2:05 that will give you a very interesting backstory on Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, some things that I'm sure you didn't know or hadn't thought about that may be influencing how he is governing and leading the House. So all of those things all rolled into one. That's what we should be thinking again about. And we're going to stay with this conversation. Mark Toth is going to get us to the practical, tactical ramifications of what happens next in Ukraine, coming up next on Inside Sources. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.